This is the B-Team Podcast, a daily recap of what you missed this morning on Mississippi Superstar Country Kicks 96,
a Boswell Media station.
Join us here for behind-the-scenes information, exclusive show content, and more. Listen live at kicks96news.com.
To become a sponsor, appear as a guest on the show, or for more information, contact them at btpodcastms@gmail.com.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Brian Bemo Montgomery.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Rick Riley.
Don't everybody thank me at once.
This is the B-Team Podcast.
The B-Team Podcast.
We're here.
It's the B-Team Podcast. Well, welcome to the latest edition, the Tuesday. What's today's date? You'd think with all the technology we'd have, I'd have a calendar in here. We'll get to that later, apparently. $1 million radio station, and I have no idea of knowing what day it is. Oh, I turned the clock off. I'm hearing in my headphones that, well, when did I do that? I couldn't find my butt with both hands on the roadmap when it comes to computers. I just like my desktop a certain way. I'll fix it later. Anyway, it's Tuesday. I know that much. I am Brian Bemo Montgomery. He is Brother Breck, and welcome to the podcast. We are only 2 days removed from the surgery. Be out from Thursday through the following Monday. So
what are they technically doing to you?
They're taking, I have a herniated C5, which is, you know, up here. And then I have a bulging disc on C6. The C6 bulging disc is caused by a bone spur that has grown on the disc that has punctured the nerve on this left side. And what they're going to do is they're going to fix 5. They're going to remove 6.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology.
The crappy part about that is I can't drive for 2 weeks. Okay? And I got to wear the collar for 6. And physical therapy. Luckily, physical therapy is here in Casa, so I ain't got to worry about that. But I just, the whole not driving thing is going to jack me up. But it makes sense because, I mean, how many times do you, you know, so.
Man, that would suck.
Yeah. I can't lift anything over 10 pounds, which I can't do right now anyway without seeing stars. And I'm going to need hours of massages. So I'm just warning my wife who's listening. Hours of massages.
Yeah, I ain't doing it.
He's like, that is not in my contract.
No, I ain't doing it, Phil. You're good there.
Although, Brittany might be a better alternative than my wife. Who? Why is it that women will ask you to rub their shoulders and we want something, yet you ask a woman to rub your shoulders and no?
I wouldn't know, so.
Oh, that's one of these things. I have officially found out it is the second day of November. Wasn't it just Halloween? This damn year is going.
Yesterday, I put on Twitter that that's like taking down your Halloween decorations is like the top 10 on my list of things to do. Somewhere,
set of things to do.
Somewhere between seeing someone cry over a broken heart and the scene in Land Before Time where Littlefoot's mama dies. Somewhere between that is taking down Halloween decorations on the list of saddest things ever. And The Fox and the Hound is on that thing as well because that's a sad movie.
Have you said depression?
I guess we could do that as a topic. What are the saddest things ever?
Saddest things?
Was the list of your saddest things ever?
Of all time or just like annual?
No. I mean not like all the time. Like you can't say like your mom died or dad. Like obviously we know those things are sad.
Right.
But like just like something that happens like on occasion, you know.
Okay.
You know, you can't say like, you know, obviously a loved one died. Obviously, Littlefoot's mom dying in the movie doesn't compare to a loved one dying. You get what I'm saying? Well, things that are sad that aren't like life-changing sad.
Do you want to
like
go
cancer
with
diagnosis? Yeah, that's sad.
Or would you prefer to keep it simple and go with just the saddest moments in motion picture history?
I mean, we could do that.
Okay, saddest moments in motion picture history. Thank you, Chris Jericho. Saddest moments. That's your homework assignment. Saddest moments in motion picture history. I'm going to write that down.
I already got number one. I just said it. Littlefoot's mama died. Come on now.
You can come up with something better than
Littlefoot. No, go back and watch Littlefoot's mama die. And that thing is, that's traumatic.
Mother?
Or, I would say this isn't even sad.
Oh, wait.
This is more like, this was creepy.
Okay.
Never Ending Story, when the horse got caught in the mud, in the sadness in the mud, and it drowned.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the swamp of sadness or whatever it was.
That is, yeah.
So that's more creepy than it was sad, but yeah.
Yeah, but it was still sad. See, I can't go on now.
See, I told you. I'm coming out of the gate swinging. A damn song from The Fox and the Hound.
Yeah.
A damn song from Toy Story 2, When She Loved Me. And they leave the doll at the park or whatever.
Lives within my heart when she.
Where's that depression hotline?
Go get my Prozac.
I think they're over there next to my Viagra. Don't take those slow, though. You'll get a stiff neck. I ain't playing. Anyway, he threw down a gauntlet earlier. He who is Brother Breck, starting a conversation of saddest moments in motion picture history. He's already put out his number one, which is...
Well, Littlefoot's mama dies in Land Before Time.
That's the saddest moment ever.
I'm not here to hear anything else. Jack from Titanic, let him sink. I don't care. No one cares. That's not sad. No one cares about that.
Okay.
That ain't sad.
I've got a couple, but I'm just trying to put them in order here.
Oh, the scene in, actually, the whole movie is kind of sad. And it's got a bunch of sad moments in it. Forrest Gump. He got a daddy named Forrest, too. And then when she says, you're his daddy, and he asks if he's smart or if he's like me.
Yeah.
That part. It's just like, oh, man.
The scene in Rooting, like you were talking about, where they come up and they put their jerseys on the table.
Yeah, I want Rudy to dress in my place.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's not necessarily sad. But
it's tearjerker.
Tearjerker.
I mean, women are going to come at you with the notebook. The notebook was sad. No. That's just life, old, depressing, and no notebook.
Anything more sad would be A Walk to Remember. That was more sad than a notebook.
Gran Torino.
Oh.
Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
Puts his hand in his pocket.
Yeah.
In the finger.
Gets shot so that, you know, the gangbangers get out of the neighborhood.
That was sad.
That was sad. What else? I said the thing from Toy Story.
Oh, yeah.
When She Loved Me, I think that won an Academy Award for Best Song, but like when the...
Well, the third one just depressed the hell out of me when he leaves his toys with that girl.
Oh, or the third one when they're about to be going through the incinerator and they're like, they give up, right? They're like, all right, well, we're going to give up. And they just hold hands and they're like, well, we're about to be burned.
Yep.
You know? So that one. And then Toy Story, spoiler alert, Toy Story 4, when Woody just leaves all of them.
Yeah.
Woody's like, I'm peace out.
Later.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bo.
For me, though. Pearl Harbor. Ben Affleck goes, fights for the British Navy, comes back, his best friend's hooked up with this girl.
Yeah.
And gets her pregnant.
Pregnant.
How do you come back from that?
And then...
I might as well have stayed dead.
Yeah. Well, then, at the end, when old boy gets shot...
Yeah.
And then Ben Affleck's like, you gotta come home, you're gonna be a daddy. And then the guy tells him, no, you are. Because he knows he's about to die.
Yeah.
Oh, how do we forget about... Top Gun.
Oh, Goose.
Come on now. We forgot about Top Gun. We get to the military movies here.
Bring out the Xanax and the Prozac, and it's issue right now.
Or the Patriot with Mel Gibson. Yeah, the little girl.
Oh,
the little girl.
Daddy, don't leave.
The little girl won't talk, and he's like, just say something. Say one thing before I leave. And then he walks off, and then she ends up running to him, and she's like, I'll say anything. Just don't go. Yeah, right.
We'll be back. It's the B-Team Podcast.
This is the B-Team Podcast, sponsored by Mammoth Power Company. The official workout gear of the B-Team Podcast. Lead from the front.
Get your shit in and go to work. Go to work.
Get your gear at mammothpowercompany.com.
It's the B-Team Podcast. We thank you so much for tuning in today again. Tell a friend, because we have now broken 700 listens as far as people who have listened to podcasts. And that's total podcast, too.
Get on our level.
I'm just blown away by this.
I have a celebratory Kit Kat.
Are you? Yeah, you've worked hard for that. I would definitely have one.
It's like half a Kit Kat.
We have our moments where we need female influence and female opinion, and we don't have that. And Miss Ashley is out today.
Maybe we have it. They just don't get here until we're done with the show.
Miss Ashley is out today. Miss Melissa is getting ready for her trip. She's going out of town for her birthday. Dude, how badass is this? George Strait in concert, right?
That's pretty good.
That's her birthday present.
On Friday.
Yeah.
Remember the 5th of November.
Exactly. Then, right after it, the next night, Metallica. I mean, Metallica and George Strait back to back.
I'd like to see George Strait come out for the Metallica show.
That would be badass.
Do a little, let's see, what would he... Exit Light!
I could see that.
And then you get some James Hetfield. It started way back in third grade.
I can so see that happening. But it makes me wonder what she's going to wear. Because, you know, I can see her wearing something comfortable, you know, to Metallica. You know, kind of jeans, kind of rocker looking.
You kind of wear the rock shirt and the jeans and, like, the Converse or something, right?
And when you're putting all that together, the most important part for most women in their attire setup is lipstick.
I was going to say hair.
I mean, you can do the whole big girl hair thing, but I
bigger
mean,
the hair, the closer to God.
Exactly. But it makes me wonder because they have four shades of lipstick, and you know what? I know who I'm going to call. I know exactly who I'm going to call. I need female insight on something because seeing how Brother Breck and I don't wear this stuff, we figured we'd call someone who might. According to a survey, there are four personality types that are associated with four different lipstick colors. What color lipstick do you wear frequently?
Go ahead, Jess. Go ahead. Not a color you can buy in the store.
Wow, and then there's that. I will say the colors and then tell you what they say, and then y'all can let me know if this is accurate and stuff.
Okay.
If a woman wears red lipstick, ladies who go for this classic shade come off as creative and daring. You're adventurous and confident, ready to take on the world, and won't let anything slow your roll. Would you say that's kind of true?
Yeah.
Okay. If you wear pink lipstick, the lighter shade is associated with sociable and fun people, but don't underestimate these gals. You're the kind of person who's attractive, not just in looks, but in personality, and people love to be around you.
So I should be wearing pink.
Yes. So that's accurate.
I should be wearing pink.
Okay.
Yes.
If you wear plum lipstick, you might not be the senior executive type, but ladies rocking this red lip are independent and self-sufficient as hell. They also tend to be more chill or the homebody type. True or false, if you wear plum lipstick?
My daughter wears plum lipstick, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If you wear nude lipstick, these women are warm and caring. They're super confident because they wear lipstick more often, and it makes them feel attractive and all natural.
Yeah.
Okay. If you wear chapstick, your ass is broke as hell and need to find a man with money. That's
correct. Correct.
See, this is female insight that you can't find anywhere else except the B-Team podcast. We thank you and appreciate you very, very mucho.
Thank you.
Are you?
We
are
appreciate you.
Oh, well, are you all behaving?
No. We're at work. So, no.
Well, I was going to say, which is exactly why I called you.
That's right.
Thank you, ladies. We love you.
Love you, too.
Bye. CB, we are loved. And Chick Sigus, they do. Do you have a favorite shade of lipstick to see on a woman?
No, not really. I mean, I'm like a bird, man. Bright colors just get me. So, yeah. If it's like bright red.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fine.
I'm like old school like that. I love all of it.
It's fine. Yeah. You know,
it's going to come off. I mean, that's the one thing about makeup. I don't understand women who wear a lot of makeup or women who buy lingerie. It makes you feel pretty. Go for it. I understand it. But it's not going to stay on long. I promise you.
It looks good, but it looks better on the floor.
Exactly. Or on my pillowcase. I'm just saying. I cannot repeat what he said. Oh, women aren't less competitive than men. Researchers put men on. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Researchers put men and women in a group asking them to complete a series of math problems in return for a reward. The people were evenly split between men and women and had the option of choosing a guaranteed prize for a correct result, a larger prize if they were a top performer, and an even larger prize with the option to share with the losers. Results, if given a chance to share their earning, 50% of women opted for the competition, 35% decided to compete only if they won a lot. In contrast, 51% of men chose the winner-take-all option, compared to the 52% of men who said they were going for the gold to share the reward with the loser. Women are straight OGs, man. They're gangsters. They don't care.
You ever, like, competed against a woman, they lose?
Yeah.
Like, they're mad.
Yeah.
Most guys are like, damn. I mean, you got some guys that are, like, super competitive or whatever, but, like most women, like, they don't like to lose.
Mm-mm. No, no. If you have the opportunity, get over to our website, which is bteampodcast.com. Find some great social media questions. We always love throwing these on here because the answers we always get, these are all good. I don't even know where to start on these. I'll ask you with the first one. What is the most foolproof way to get someone to lose interest in you? Wait for it.
Be myself. Apparently. That's what I mean. That's just me, right?
Some of the answers we've got, I was trying to tell you to hold on. Always asking for money.
Well,
nothing turns women off like a broke-ass man. Keep saying you need to run things by your mom.
Or just like that, or say, well, my mom didn't do it this way.
Oh, no. And coming in with our most popular response, only talk about yourself. When someone brings up something else, you change the loop or topic back to you. Those are the best answers we've gotten on our what's the most foolproof way to get someone to lose interest in you. What is slowly dying off or disappearing?
Landlines.
Coming in at number one, telephone booths.
Well,
are probably completely gone by now because I haven't seen one in forever. I just haven't. Coral reefs are disappearing. Free parking and privacy is the number one thing that's slowly dying off or disappearing. I love this one, and I saved it last for you because it's up your alley. What is a film that everyone liked but you hated?
There's not many movies that I just hate. Like, I mean,
all right, didn't care for.
Yeah, I mean, there are movies that I just that I don't like or that I think aren't good. I never got all of the hype around Avatar.
Okay.
I mean, I thought it was, like, visually stunning, but it was basically just like Fern Gully meets Dances with Wolves. So,
this is why I love working with him, because we so think alike. Let me throw a couple of these at you that people actually chimed in with. Crash.
Winter Crash.
Like, yeah.
2004. Like,
yeah.
Or 2006. Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
The Oscar winner.
It was okay. Gravity.
I never saw that one.
I didn't either.
Space kind of freaks me out, so.
Bird Box?
Didn't watch that either.
I didn't see that either.
That's two Sandra Bullock movies right there.
This one blew my mind. The most popular film that everyone liked but people hated? The Fast and the Furious movies.
I can understand it because, like, the more they go, the more outlandish they get. I mean, you get, like, the first few that are actually about, like, street racing. And then you get to Fast Five where they do, like, a hard turn. And, like, we're not going to be about racing. We're going to be about heists.
Yes.
And so I actually think Fast Five is the best one of the... Of them.
Now, is that the one?
That's the one when The Rock first came in.
Okay.
Where they go to Brazil. Actually, where they brought back everybody from all the other movies and brought them all together. I actually think that's the best one of them, besides the original. And after that, they just, you know what I mean? You just start getting dumb popcorn movies. You know, if you know what they are when you're going in, you're fine.
Yeah.
You don't expect the laws of gravity or physics to work.
Yeah,
and
no.
Don't expect anybody to win any Oscars.
No.
And just be fun, right? Sometimes you just got to turn your brain off and watch a dumb action flick.
Something we didn't learn until just now. National Weather Service has named Subtropical Storm Watch Wanda over the weekend, which is the 21st named storm in the 2021 Atlantic hurricane season. You know what that means? It's the second time in 2 years they've made it to the end of the regular list of names.
Then they have to go to, like, Beta and Zeta and... Kappa and Gamma and all them things.
Well, last year, there were 30 named storms, and the last 9 were named Greek letters.
I like the Greek
ones. Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. Like, just keep going.
Why not Zeus? Huh. Zeus, what do we need for X-ray? Xavier?
Xerxes.
Time for our Text and Tones topic question of the day, which is going to be a good one. Again, we invite you to chime in. 601-389-1967. I'm so glad Mom is not listening this morning because she would blow this phone up. What is a dangerous thing that you did as a kid?
We shot BB guns at each other, like, point blank.
Yes.
We shot Roman candles at each other, point blank.
Yes.
We shot bottle rockets at each other, and this was the best one. Shot bottle rockets at each other, and we would see how few we could outrun them. So there was a like a ditch right here, right? There was a ditch right here. And so we'd put a bottle rocket like out here. We'd light it, we'd turn and see if we could run and jump in the ditch before the bottle rocket got to us, right?
Oh.
And so every time we beat it, we'd, you know, push it back further and further to see how it would take. Well, we did it, and then one time it got real close, and I jumped, and as soon as I jumped, the bottle rocket came through, and I smelled something. I was like, I must have caught my pants on fire. And I looked down, and it had come through the back of my sweatpants and out the front in the, crotch area.
Oh,
so I was like,
yeah,
we're done. We are
damn.
We are done with this for today.
Damn.
And then you talk about, you know, other stupid stuff, like jumping off the house into the swimming pool. And
oh, my God. Yeah, we did that.
So, I mean, like, there's a lot of dumb stuff.
Definitely done some stupid things. Let's go to the phone line, 601-389-1967. What dangerous thing did you do as a kid?
We would get into a giant 55-gallon drum, and we would roll down the barn hill.
Yeah. So were you hanging out with these people?
No. What we did was we had a thing of hay bales, a line of hay bales, and they were all, like, right together.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would get someone to drive really fast off of around the four-wheeler. And then jump off on the hay bales. You would always roll. You tried to roll across the top of them.
Uh-huh.
It didn't matter. You always rolled and got stuck in between two of them really fast.
Hi, good morning. What dangerous thing did you do as a kid?
I popped bullets on a rock with a hammer.
Oh, my God. See, I've never done that. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, we did. Well, we shot them with BB guns. We set up a .22 bullet and tried to shoot the primer with a BB gun. And sometimes it would go off. Sometimes if you pump the BB gun up or a pellet gun up enough,
right,
and you hit the primer in the right spot, it would shoot off a bullet.
Oh,
like a .22 bullet. Yeah, we did that too.
Good morning. What's the most dangerous thing you did as a kid?
My best friend and I, when we were probably like 12 and 13, used to go play on the river when it was winter.
Uh-huh.
And we would just bring a stick out there and hit the ice. And if the stick didn't break it, we deemed it safe.
That's logical.
Yeah. We didn't have that problem. We don't have ice. None of our rivers get, it doesn't get that cold.
No. Time now for...
I feel like I won all of these things.
Yes, you did. You definitely
and I didn't
did.
Even, I didn't even scratch the surface.
Well, so, yeah. There's just no competition. No. Winner, break. Yeah. Fatality.
Yeah. And me, we lived in the country, man. So we had to find some fun stuff to do.
Hmm. Time now for things we learned today. And we learned today that Breck is one of the most dangerous people in the world when it comes to doing things that he did as a child.
Young person Breck was.
Yes.
High school, I mean, adult Breck.
Well, what's the most dangerous adult, or what's the most dangerous thing that adult Breck has done?
Went on a date.
I was going to say.
Depending on who it was with, that is pretty dangerous.
I was going to say, does this involve you DJing and Cigarette Girl? That's all I'm going to say.
No, that could have been dangerous. That could have been very dangerous. No, Adult Breck is, he might be wild and out, but he's not stupid.
Yeah. We learned today that it's Cookie Monster's birthday. How old is Cookie today?
I guess he would be 52.
Yeah, well, he was born in 69.
Yeah, but like, I don't know what they consider his birthday because.
Well, he made his first appearance in 69.
Well, he made his first appearance on Sesame Street in 1969, but he didn't go by Cookie Monster until season two. Like, he was just a character there. And then, like, but back in like 1966, he was in a commercial, but it wasn't Cookie Monster, just like the same puppet.
Okay.
The actual character of Cookie Monster. I don't know what they consider, but yeah, he made his debut in 1969, so I guess he'd be 52.
Okay, we'll go with 52. We learned that Kermit the Frog was born right here in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew that, but still.
We'll tell everybody where he was born.
Leland, Mississippi, that's his hometown. Old Jim Henson.
Yep, Mississippi native. We also learned today that women wear different shades of lipstick for different reasons. And what else did we learn? Oh, that the saddest movie in the world.
Lamb Before Time.
Littlefoot.
Littlefoot's mom dies in Lamb Before Time.
And he doesn't want to hear it from anybody else that there's anything sadder.
There is nothing sadder. Go watch that stuff, man. That is sad. I mean, like, it's bad sad. Like, this is a movie for kids.
What about Bambi's mom?
I grew up going deer hunting. Now, you know how many times I killed Bambi's mom? How many times I killed Bambi? Like, that ain't sad. That's
dinner.
Yeah, that's just her. Let's just survive, man. I guess that the dinosaur thing is just nature and stuff, right? But no, we don't care about Bambi's mom. We've done, like I said, we grew up hunting.
Until next time, that's all the time we've got. This is the B-Team Podcast. Say goodbye, Brother Breck.
Adios, hermano Breck.
You've been listening to the B-Team Podcast. Catch BMO and Breck weekday mornings on Mississippi's Superstar Country, Kix 96.
A Boswell Media station.
Listen live at kix96news.com.
To become a sponsor, the viewers and guests on the show, or for more information, contact them at btteampodcastms@gmail.com.